The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Put on your seatbelt. Pastor is going to preach. He will not hurry up. So just calm down. I was telling you guys yesterday, you must love the word of God. I'm saying this because some of you have friends possibly that go to churches where they serve spiritual small chops as message. 10 minutes, small chops of the spirit, just a little. And you might feel, why can't we just be like that? I like you to know that you are doing the right thing. The church is a place where the word of God is taught. It's not a place where the word of God is mentioned. Do you get the point? We don't mention God's word in church. We give it full priority, full attention. As I get said, I'm not going to stop. Even though today will not be too short, but I'm good. If it's not long as I want, we'll pray. You must enjoy the word of God and prayer. Okay, if you go to church for any other thing apart from these two things, you might as well have joined a social club. You understand the point? But you know, recently, God has laid it in my heart that very soon we need to start a second service here. The only thing I've been trying to fix in my head is how my log message will enter the two services. But we're going to find a way around it, amen? Because I know once we've got out some plans to have for these next few months, and with students coming back, obviously we need a second service. Praise God. But then, don't worry. Nothing is good. Yes, I will reduce every other thing. Praise, worship. So be doing this my long teaching. I'm excited for long teachings. Amen. I'm telling you. I'm excited because I teach for long. I'm excited. You able to teach. A good pastor should be able to teach all night. Get the point? All night. It's not like people will not sleep. When they wake up, you are still talking. That's the point. You talk longer than they want to listen. Hallelujah. Now, seriously now, I'm grateful to God that I was not subjected to text 30 minutes message when I was praying. It's now that, but I love long teachings. I love being able to sit from morning till evening. For instance, LMP 9, this year is not even that, but we sit from like 4:30 till 7:30 every day under the word for 1 week. You should love such things. You love such things? Hallelujah. I love the word of God. Hallelujah. Now this morning is a teaching on angels. We continue from where we stopped. These ministering spirits. And I've heard a lot of testimonies. You know, some of these testimonies they were sharing, some of them I have the details. You know the kind of money, you know, angels are working. And it's not like they've not been working. It's just because you decided to engage them today. Did you get the point? You know, one of the things I try to establish is the fact that when we came into Christ, Hebrews 12 verse 22, when we came into Christ, we did not just come to righteousness and all that. We came to the ministry of angels. The Bible said, but you have come to Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So if you believe that you came into Zion where you came into Christ, or you came into the city of God, you should also believe that you came to an innumerable company of angels, not one, not two. So like I said, making a joke last week, I said some people are struggling to know the name of their guardian angel, say Angel Uriah, Angel Raphael, whereas people like us are enjoying an innumerable company. You want to know one angel following you? I know there are more than 80,000 angels, says the word of God. Jesus told them in Matthew 26 verse 20 verse 53. He said, do you not know that I can pray to my Father and he will send me 12 legions of angels? Look at that. 12 legions. And other translations will give you the equivalent of that 12 legions. So check other translations. King James said 12 legions. Amplified said more than 80,000. So Jesus said, if he prays once, there'll be more than 80,000 angels that will appear now. Just one prayer. So while you are trying to know the name of your guardian angel, some others are using more than 80,000. I don't get the point. Angels are working for you. Hallelujah. Angels are working for us. The reason they were created and made the way they were made is because of you. Angels were not made with strength to be able to use the strength for themselves or for God. As a matter of fact, God is too powerful that nothing can contend with him. Hope you know that. So God did not need to make soldiers that would defend him. So the reason he made angels was for man. Hebrews 1 verse 14, he said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation? So you find out that angels were sent for you. The reason angels were created, for you. The reason angels were sent, for you. And so angels are at your disposal. Now, I showed you from the first day, for instance, that the reason Satan even came to the earth at all, or Lucifer, was because of you. People think Satan was in heaven and there was fight and God sent him down to earth. Now you think about it. That would make God a good God. Because somebody was making an argument which was very, very logical. He said, why will God be called a good God? Why will he send Satan to the garden to go and tempt man? I don't get the point. But that was what happened. If you're here from the first day, you find out that actually Lucifer was in the garden as a good angel. Angels were sent to serve. If you don't understand what I said now, get the first teaching, the part of this message. I explained that very well. So angels were created and sent to serve you. Not one, not two, an innumerable company working for you. We've looked at their nature and all that. We looked at what they do. Last week we were looking at what they do for the saints. I mentioned protection, if you remember. We mentioned deliverance. We looked at provision. And we saw a lot of that this week, right? We looked at their role in provision. That doesn't mean angels will bring money to your bed. It can happen too. He says, how can it happen? I don't know. All I know is that the Bible told me that an angel brought food for Elijah. Physical food, not spiritual, right? And woke him up, and Elijah woke up and ate it. So it can happen. But more than that happening, angels can position you, for instance. One of the testimonies, I think, was Sister Vicky. The money she said that she got, the financial breakthrough this week, the testimony was funny. He said, when the whole thing was happening, he said, so one of our friends called her and woke her up and said, I'm rest here. I said, are you sleeping and money is passing you by? In case you don't know, that was free money. She didn't work for it, right? Free money. I'm talking about 10,000. Free big money. And she just woke up and did whatever, and the money came. Now, why would your friend remember to call you at that time? I didn't get the point. There are ministry spirits that steer the hearts of people to even give you money. Such things happen. Hallelujah. And it is the work of angels, and you find them in protection, in deliverance. You find them even in salvation. I explained that last week, remember? It's not like they preach the gospel or they can convert people, no. But they can position and set things in place. That's why you find that if you are praying for the salvation of a loved one, you will pray and pray to a point. The next thing you notice is, he coincidentally, in your turn, enters a bus that somebody will coincidentally be preaching, and he gets saved. It's not coincidence. Angels arrange that situation. I get what I'm talking about. So they play a lot of roles. So they are found there to work for you. They are doing a lot of things in your favor. And one of the things I always tell you is this. You really don't have to see angels when they are working. Whether you see them or not. But I will get to that shortly. One other thing I didn't mention last week, which I want to start with today, that they do for you, is they play a role in directions. Or let me know if it's direction. Oh, yeah, direction, yeah. They can come to deliver a message. Now, remember from the first day, I said angels don't teach. Do you remember that? They don't have the job description to teach. They don't teach. They can't. They don't. And they won't. The Bible tells us in Galatians 1 verse 6, he said, if an angel from heaven brings a message contrary to what we brought, he said, let him be accursed. In Acts chapter 10, the angel appeared to Cornelius. He did not teach him salvation. He said, send for Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 and verse 10 to verse 12, the Bible tells us that these angels are eagerly looking into the facts of salvation. They don't understand it. Are you getting the point? In 1 Timothy, we are told that they saw God first. 1 Timothy 3:16. The first time they saw God was in the face of Jesus. We said that to all of that within this. So find out angels don't teach. The Bible will go further to even show you that when it comes to salvation, things of the Spirit, it is men that teach angels. Remember I showed you that the first day. Amazingly, people think that angels are superior to men. But the Bible teaches that men are superior to angels. Believers are superior to angels. That's why I will address this today very well. More importantly, that it is a crime to pray to an angel. I'm thinking to that shortly. So they don't teach. But then they can bring a message. Do you get the point? They can bring a message. They can come to share a message with you. Not Bible message. A message. Do you get what I'm saying? A message like, do this or do that. That can bring direction. I can show you one or two places in the Bible. For instance, in Matthew chapter 2, from verse 8. You find this play out in Matthew 2. Sorry, not Matthew. Luke 2 verse 8. Luke 2 verse 8. You see the story of that was in the same country, shepherds. This was when Jesus was born. Christmas is coming soon, amen. Shepherds, okay, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. I will look at this next thing. Fear not, but behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So he gave them a message that Jesus had been born and told them where Jesus was born. You get the point? So this was a message of direction from or by the hands of an angel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, you find an angel play another role. In fact, we can see this all over the Bible. For instance, okay, look at Matthew 1, 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. Shinanakolia. The birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, you know the story now, and was not willing to disgrace her, decided he was going to just let her go peacefully. In verse 20, an angel appeared to Joseph and said, don't do it. So the angel brought a message. Prior to this, an angel had brought a message to Mary too, you know, right? And said, you are going to have a child. An angel had appeared to Zechariah in the temple and said, you're going to have a child. I don't get the point. So angels, they play a role in bringing some directions. And I'm praying for you that this week, you will have supernatural direction by the hands of angels. At that point, you will need to make a decision. Angels will be there to serve you. They'll be there to serve you. In Matthew 2, verse 13. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible tells us, and when the disciples... Sorry, Matthew 2, verse 13 rather. That was the wrong one. Matthew chapter 2 in verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise. I like this particular one. I single it out because this was when Herod was trying to kill Jesus. So you find that they can bring a message. I was talking about deliverance last week and protection. So they can bring a message of direction that will lead to deliverance. I didn't get the point. He said, carry the child and run. So by the hands of an angel, Joseph was able to escape with Jesus, and Jesus was saved. So they can bring such messages. You find this, for instance, in Acts chapter 27, verse 21. Paul and the rest of them, they were on the high sea, and then things were about to go wrong. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, no, you know, you should have least hearkened to me. Because at first, Paul told them, don't leave. Something is going to go wrong. But they didn't listen because there was nobody. And I use this to explain something. There was a day somebody asked a question here. One of these Saturday classes. Person was like, what if you have a message from God? They are trying to communicate to your boss. People that are above you and they don't want to listen to you. And I said, you don't force it on them. You get the point? You don't force it on them. You just pray that one day. Because Paul had given them, said, don't move from this place. But they didn't listen. So finally he said, you should have hearkened to me and not have lost some Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Okay? And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. So he brought a message to Paul. And that message led to their protection and their deliverance. Are you getting the point? So angels play such roles in bringing messages to you. Now you need to know this is why they are positioned. To be able to show so they can bring direction sometimes. Sometimes. This is a gift of the Spirit, right? What gift is this? Huh? Word. Okay, you are right. But then, this is word of wisdom, actually. Or word of knowledge, too. But it came by descending of Spirit. You know what it means to descend the Spirit? To descend Spirit means to see into the realm of the Spirit. Brother Hagin will call it the Spirit of seeing. and knowing. So it's like what I saw a vision. So you can have it by the gift of the of spirits. You see into the spirit, and it will bring about a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. Do you understand that? I always say the of spirit as a gift. We're gonna have a Holy Ghost meeting next month. Okay, because I just kept while I was sitting down there. The send of spirits is a gift that does not really stand alone. You get the point? It doesn't stand on its own. When you have a vision is useless most times if it doesn't bring about a knowing. It's not true. A vision will always lead to a knowing. Either you know something that has happened or something that will happen or something that is happening. So it's a gift that does not stand on its own. So that's what is happening here. So you see an angel in the spirit, and the angel will give you a message. So it happens. How many of you have experienced this? Let me see your hand. You've seen angels and they deliver the message. Let me see your hand. Just raise your hand. Ask Paris. But I'll show you how this happens. Or many of us have, but we don't know. And so they saw angels and they just delivered a message to them. Now, let me say this. Whether you see an angel or not, you must know that angels are working for you. Okay? Whether you see an angel or not. Jesus said unto Thomas, he said, blessed are they that we don't see but believe. The problem with our generation and with most people is that we are visual people. We want to see. If angels are here, let me see them. And that's the major problem. And I'm going to address that shortly. In 2 Kings, for instance, chapter 6 and verse 16. Yeah, sorry, 16 rather. 2 Kings chapter 16 rather, verse 15. 2 Kings 16, verse 15. Okay. Sorry, I was right before. Go back. 2 Kings 6:15. Yeah. No. I don't forget anything. 2 Kings 6:15. I answered, fear not. This was when they came. Okay. When the Son of Man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So there were soldiers that surrounded them. Verse 16, he answered, fear not, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now verse 17, and he now said, Elisha prayed, open his eyes. Now notice, Elisha did not need his eyes to be opened. Do you get the point? He just knew. That's why I find out most times when visions come, not a lot of times, most times when visions come, it is to help your faith. You get the point? If I'm praying now and you see an angel doing whatever, most times it comes to strengthen your faith. It doesn't mean that before you saw the visions, angels were not working. Gehazi needed it because he was afraid. And so talking about angelic appearances, you know, because one of the ways angels serve, sometimes they can appear, it can happen. But let me make some very powerful points. I'm not teaching for long today, actually. I just said all that's threatening you. Amen. But then, let me say make some very powerful points. Angels can appear to you. But please note some of this I'm going to say. Number one, never seek visions. I've kept saying this. I learned this from Brother Hagin. It has kept me safe for a very long time. Never seek visions. All this, what I want to say, if I want to see an angel. If you do that, you are possibly going to involve the ministry of demons. Even let me say it this way. Never seek physical experiences. All this, Father, I want you to talk to me in my left ear. I want to see you clearly. When you begin to seek those things, the way God speaks to us is via our inward witness, right? Do you know that? It's inward. Don't say, Father, I want to see. Most of the time you begin to seek to see. Then, you might start seeing things from your flesh. Do you understand that? Your imagination will start playing out on you. Satan can also bring pictures to you. This is the problem with people who go up and down. I'm here for you this morning. Seeking for an encounter. Are they here? I ever sought for an encounter. Stop. The only encounter you need is God's word. Listen to me, friends. Stop seeking for the spectacular. But Hagin will say, you can be there looking for the spectacular and you miss the supernatural. What we don't realize is that the spiritual is a very simple, it comes in simple ways. That will spectacular things happen to you, it will. Before you end your spiritual life, it must. Now, there are reasons why, you know, suppose I have friends that it always happens. Well, I didn't want to say this, but let me say it. One of the reasons that happens. Have you, do you have friends that always see angels, see things? You have such friends? Now, that does not in any way make them more spiritual. As a matter of fact, visions does not in any way mean you are spiritual. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius saw a vision of an angel talking to him. He was never saved. I get the point. He was a full-time unbeliever. He saw a vision. It doesn't mean you're spiritual. Read it. Acts chapter 10. Read it from verse 1. This guy was, he was the angel that told him to send for Peter to now come and tell you what to do. Peter now came and preached salvation, and they got saved for the first time in their life. That's why you notice that visions are not actually exclusive to believers. Did you get what I said now? Well, if you don't understand that, at least you understand dreams. Right? Before you got saved, you are seeing dreams. And people that are unsaved around, they see dreams, and some dreams, they mean something, right? There was a certain man called Cornelius. Okay, the centurion and all that. A devout man. One that feared God with all his heart. So you see, when you see this description, you will think he was born again. It was when Peter visited his house to now preach. You now find that this guy was not saved. But he was a religious man. Do you understand the point? By the Jewish standard, he was religious. He was not saved. In verse 3, the Bible tells us he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord coming to him. So he saw an evident vision. It didn't mean he was saved. If that's still confusing you, don't you realize that what came upon Egypt, the famine that came upon the world, it was Pharaoh, an unbeliever, that saw it. That was word of wisdom. Is that not? He saw into the future, the famine, a stark, total unbeliever, Pharaoh. Don't you realize that Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision too? Nebu of all people. Different people saw stuff. And so, you should never think that visions come to you because of spiritual. That will be a very terrible deception. And it is a very simple thing. No visions. You don't need to actually involve your will in visions. Except in spiritual. I've still explained spiritual visions. I'm coming to that. What is visions of the night, or visions like where you see clearly? It doesn't mean as much. Well, let me give a general, make a general statement. Part of the reason why there are some people, this is not the only reason, but there are some people that it looks like these things happen to them often, even before they got saved. Have you seen such people? When they get saved, every night one angel came. Most of them, not all, are actually called into the prophetic office. You get the point? Prophets most times by calling. Okay, they have. It doesn't mean. You get the point? It doesn't mean that most people are anybody. There are people it just happens to often every day. Well, that doesn't mean if it happens to you, that automatically means you're called a prophet. Neither does it mean that if it doesn't happen to you, that you're not called a prophet. I'm just saying that some people just find this happening. It doesn't mean that I'm not spiritual. Don't be found seeking a vision. Father, speak to me. Show me. And I lived the better part of my Christian life when I was very young, praying for God to speak to me in my ear. And I was specific. I said, Lord, don't tell me in my heart. I want to hear you. Did you pray like me? I want to hear you. And I want to see. And God was talking to me in my heart. I said, Lord, no. I'm not joking, though. I did a lot of things. Many people in the wilderness today that are looking for a vision. Hope you know. Mountains are looking for, they're looking for to hear. If I finally heard that thing, I felt bad. Now, I felt bad because there was nothing I heard that was different from what I knew. I didn't get the point. Stop seeking such things. But Hagin was such a prophet who had visions of Jesus. I've read his book, I Believe in Visions. Series of visions of Jesus. He said, after Jesus came to him the last time, he said, this will be the last time I will ever appear to you like this again. He said, Lord, why? Did I do anything? He said, no. He said, from now, I will be talking to you the same way I talk to every other of my children on earth. That was the last time Jesus ever appeared to him. It didn't make him less spiritual. Are you getting the point at all? And so you come to a point where you realize that visions can come, but it doesn't mean, if at LMP, some of you that registered for LMP, when I'm teaching you on Maranatha and the book of Revelation, I'll touch this again. Because you need to understand how visions come and the role they play. When you understand how visions come, it will help you understand the book of Revelation better. I didn't get the point. But I better learn. And so, visions are not, they're not a proof that you are spiritual. They're not. They're not a proof. So unbelievers can see it. They can see. That's why we always teach that you should not establish any doctrine on visions. Never do that. Because the problem, you know, I was joking last week. I said, not joking, I was seriously joking. Okay? I was talking about Sister Linda, remember? I say vision of him wearing earring, going to hell. The reason the church was blown away by that is that we don't have any stamina at all. Now, do you know, if you know the word of God, the first thing that should piss you off with that is that she saw a vision and was drawing conclusions based on the vision she saw. You cannot draw a conclusion based on the fact that you went to hell or that you saw heaven or that you saw hell. You draw a conclusion based on the word of God. I didn't get the point. It's what the Bible has to say. You know why? Oh God, I'm not talking about visions today. I will not say much. But part of the reason this has happened is this. People will see what they know. Do you get the point? People see what they know in visions. Okay. John, in the book of Revelation, saw a vision. He saw, Bible said, he saw seven candlesticks. I saw Jesus standing in the midst of seven. You remember that? And God said, these are the seven churches. I normally joke. Why did John see? You know, that was supposed to represent light. John was able to see only candlesticks because that was the only source of light he knew at that point. If I see that vision, I will not see candlesticks. I might see seven halogen lamps. Do you get the point? That's why in interpreting a vision, the details and the symbols are not important. Do you get what I'm saying now? Because the symbols is what you know. What you know. So you don't draw conclusions on. If you see any message, if you see any vision, before you conclude, make sure it agrees with the word of God. If it doesn't, discard it. Discard it. Anyway, that's by the way. But then vision doesn't mean you're spiritual. You don't take them serious. You don't draw a conclusion on them. You don't. So whenever you see a vision, they must agree with the word of God. And don't be found seeking vision, seeking experiences, seeking an encounter. I understand there are ministries in this country that are built on this. Father, give us an encounter. Well, I'm not here to say anything against. I'm just preaching my message. But I'm saying that if you want to be sane as a believer, stop seeking encounters. See, live your life studying the word. Live your life praying. What encounter do you want so that in your room fire will not go? And I say, but you know, there's some things you know in your head. But when you encounter it, it will become more real. You are still a baby. You are talking like Thomas, who said, until I put my hand inside. Jesus came. That if you say it so that you have it. But it doesn't mean you are mature. Jesus came and said, okay, put your hand. After he put his hand in, he said, blessed are they that will not see but believe. So you seek it, you have it. But if listen to this. If you are built on an encounter, your stand and your faith is built on an encounter, see the issue. When you have a counter encounter, do you get what I'm saying? We have another encounter that contradicts that one, your faith will shift. But you see, the word of God can never be shaken. No encounter contradicts this encounter. You know, one of our pastors today, how she, when the first time I met her, she met me and I was like, how are you doing? She said, fine. I said, what do you want? She said, sir, that was the first time in church. I want an encounter. I said, tell me more. She said, I've read the Bible. I've seen the Bible. But I want to encounter it. I could hear some messages playing in her head because I've listened to those things. Yeah. She was talking. He said, yes. He said, wow. I just smiled. And it's not like now I even have pressure. I just smiled, leaned back on my head. I said, you don't need any encounter. I know in her mind she was like, kind of, because this person doesn't know what I'm saying. She said, don't need any encounter. He said, I'm serious. I said, you need the word. He said, sir, I know the word. I said, you don't know the word. That's why you say, we know what we want to encounter. No, the reason you need an encounter is because you don't know what. When you know the word, you don't need the encounter. I say, shut up, you don't know the word. I said, let's do an assignment. Say what? I say, fine. Book of Romans. Go chapter 1 to chapter 16. I explain some things to her. Take my NLT Bible. Go home. Study it. Do assignment. Bring it back. She came and was like, wow. I've never said, hey, you're not having an encounter. This is the real encounter. You get the point? Some of these things you are looking for, stop looking for those things. You might end up opening yourself up to demons. I'll only tell you guys this story. Remember? The guy went up to the mountain looking for an encounter. It's not a story I heard. It's life. Say, I want God to touch. And he prayed 7 days fasting, dry fasting. And the problem with that dry fasting is that when you fast for that long, dry, your will is weak. I'm going to say some things to you guys. I'm not trying to correct anything. I'm just telling you a story. I'm just telling you what is real. Your will is weak. Anything can come to you that time. Demons can come. You are tired, first of all. Have you done dry fasting for like 3 days? Let me see your hand. How is your life on the third day? You can't even pray. Now I've done it. You just lie down. So thank you, Jesus. And the time will now be very slow. It will never hurry up. It's just ticking, ticking. Just there. Third day. That day never ends. It's always very long. I thought this guy went for 7 days. You know why your will is weak? You don't even have strength to judge or to discern anything. All of this I learned from Brother Hagin about fasting. Brother Hagin is one man that fasts for like 21 days, but not dry. He carries his Bible, he goes to the church. For the whole 21 days, he's there. Studying his Bible, praying throughout. If he gets hungry, he will take something light to get more strength and continue for the whole 21 days. He has scattered the fasting. What is it now? It's not prayer. So, but the guy was on 7 days. I'm not saying enough. I'm just telling a story, right? But if you get the message, you get it. I am a strong believer in fasting. But I believe in fasting and prayer. That's what I said. I don't believe in fasting and fasting. You fast and you pray. You don't fast and just, because from the fourth day, fifth day, you're lying down. Your tongues is now inside your stomach. Shamalokalrok. See, you may not understand until you try it. If you've not tried it, I wanted to try it. Just have the experience. 3-4 days, your will be gone. You cannot, at the time, you will not be feeling your hand again. I'm not making this thing up. You don't feel it, you just touch yourself, just be feeling, am I still alive? Some of my daughters, when they were in secondary school, embarked on a 7 days fast. I've had two set of people do this thing. Now the first one, it was funny. On the fifth day, I'll be the sixth day. And they were in secondary school, they were in the hostel, they were going to school, going to classes, reading their book, coming back. 7 days dry fast. On the fifth day, I'll be fifth of the sixth day. They stood up. Say once, said I stood up from my bed and I fell back. they were two. They looked at themselves. Nobody talked to each other. They walked straight to the canteen and bought food. Nobody said I'm breaking. I just looked at myself. And the spirit told them, if you don't eat now, you will die. Just Oh, pastors, they have a way of making you so weak. So weak. It's not bad. I'm just telling you a story. Listen, it is more profitable that you spend 72 hours praying, fasting. When you get tired, don't be like, when you get tired, especially if I'm talking about doing a long fast, you understand? There are only two cases of such long fast in the Bible. Okay, total fast. The first was Jesus, and he is Jesus. The second was Moses, but he was overshadowed by the glory of God. The third was Elijah. Ate food given to him by angels and walked in the strength of it for 40 days. All of them were supernatural. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't go and get into this 10 days, 15 days fast. Let me tell you, don't kill yourself. Nobody should call me on phone, no. My number must not go through that day. And the problem, do you know why I'm not against this thing? I'm saying most of the things that lead people to such things is that are seeking an encounter. And when you get to like fifth day, sixth day, everything is weak. Your energy, your bones, your will is even weak. Anything can assess you. So this guy was on the mountain 7 days. On the seventh day, we now know the story. An angel appeared to him. An angel in quotes told him some things. Now, because he didn't even know the word at first, but even if he knew the word, at that point, there was no will to vet or to judge. So he just took in everything. He came down from the mountain. He was so powerful. He will see you and tell you everything wrong with you. Such rubbish. Such power, right? You know some things you call power. You know that's oh God. You know, says God showed me yours where you are sinning. Most times it's not true. You know, say I saw you in a room. Let me tell you, God doesn't show people pornography. Do you know what I said? I saw you in a room with a woman, so you are watching Blue Film in church. That's what it means. You saw me. What did you see, sir? So you are watching. No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't do all those things. If God is going to tell you about somebody's sin, can it happen? It can. A classic example was the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember? Jesus said if I had five husbands. God can tell you such things, but he will tell you so that you can help the situation. And not to mess the person up. I'm a pastor, and let me say this to you. You know, when it comes to giving word, I don't know why this are coming. Let me tell you. God, see, God is a God of family. If God wants to communicate some very important things to you about your destiny, he won't do it through strange voices. Take this information as a principle. He won't do it through strange, every idiot on the street just using and giving you a word. He won't do it through strange voices. He will do it through known voices. Your pastor, your leader, he will tell you. So you say, God is going to judge you. Say, no, God is not going to judge me. I know what I'm talking about. Well, what limits all of that? This guy now had that vision. He started seeing things and calling names and doing whatever. Now, but the demon that appeared to him, that came like an angel, was telling him very crazy, crazy things to do. One of the days, the demon told him, their father, they had an idol in their village. So the village told him, the demon told him to get a hen, a chicken, you know, and then go to the idol and sacrifice it. That what it means is that chicken, the blood, will be the representative of the blood of Jesus. That when the blood now touches that altar, no other blood can now survive on that altar. That looks logical, right? That's nonsense. He did it. It continued. Until one day, the demon told him on the mountain, he said, see, your consecration is that nobody should touch your hair. If anybody touches your hair, you should cause the person to die. And you already seen it's a demon. So one small girl was playing around this guy and touched the hair. And the demon said, cause her to die. And the brother could not do it. The love of God was in his heart. And so the girl left. Because the girl they were related, the sister. You know. So after the girl left, he began to feel like he has sinned against God. And that's something about encounters. You can never have enough. He went back to the mountain to go and seek forgiveness. We didn't see him. 3 days, 4 days, I'm not joking, 1 week, close to 2 weeks, they traced him up to the mountain. Saw him naked, running up and down. He was already mad. Officially mad. I'm not joking. They brought him down from there. There's no way they didn't carry these guys. Glory to God, he's fine now. But ministry, yeah. He's not doing again. Say it's not power I was looking for, that I wanted to die. Let me stay on my own and find job. You know. So you don't seek such things. You're going to expose your heart to demons. I get the point. You're going to let the devil take. So stop seeking encounters. Will they come? Yes. But it doesn't mean you are more spiritual than anybody. Now that said, now you should also know that when you have these encounters, because they can come, you will see angels. Amen. You will. That's the truth. Maybe not as dramatic as you want. When I'm done explaining, you understand, but you can see them. But take note of this is I'm going to say again. Never, always remember, for instance, that angels don't have the assignment to teach. Look at Colossians 2 verse 18. They don't teach. They can't teach. And they must not be worshipped. In Colossians 2 verse 18, he said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels. Put up like Amplified. I like how Amplified render this verse. Now look up the screen. Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize. Insisting on self-abasement and worship of taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen. Say, let no man, if the church has seen this verse, they should have shut Sister Linda up long ago. You get the point? Let no man defraud you. Look at it again. Let no one defraud you by acting as, who is an umpire? Like a referee, right? Some people act as if they are the umpires of, they hold the key to heaven. I saw Pastor Adeboye in hell. I saw Bishop Adeboye in hell. Only one church is going to heaven. Umpires. And where do these things come from? He said, they declare you unworthy and disqualify you for the prize. Tell you not qualified for heaven. That's what I'm showing you. Insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels. He's taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen. He said, vainly puffed up by sensuous notions and inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceits. That's the truth. I get the point. So you are not here to worship angels. And so they don't teach. They don't come to you and they're teaching you. You know, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says, no, it's not their assignment. It's not their assignment. You don't worship them. In fact, in Revelation 19 verse 9, let me show you this one. Revelation 19, when John, you know, because I'm saying this because when you have angelic encounters, because of how they come, there is a tendency that you can be scared and you might want to worship them. I may not worship, I want to lie down. I didn't get the point. But don't do it. After this, I heard. Chapter 19, verse 9. He said, then the angel said unto me. Go to King James, first. Welcome to Amplified. He said, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's you, right? And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophets. Don't do it. Put up like Amplified. Don't do it. Then I fell prostrate at his feet to worship, to pay divine honors to him. But he restrained me and said, refrain, you must not do that. I am only another servant. That's what I wanted to see. King James said, I'm your fellow servant. It makes me look like we are servants too with him. No. If I put it better, I am only another servant with you and your brethren who have accepted. So it's just one other servant that serves us. I didn't get the point. Another servant that is with us. Say, worship God. So never. No matter the kind of glory they call me, don't do that. I've seen angels a couple of times. I don't ever tell the story. I don't. And so, you take note of these things. So let me talk about angelic appearances. Now, you must notice that angels can come to you in different forms. Remember I said that the first day. They can take on different forms. They can. Why can they? Because, of course, they are spiritual. They are spirits, right? And spirits can take on any form. An angel can come. I'll show you this in the Bible. And so, how do I know I've seen an angel? I'll tell you one or two things. One, an angel can come to you in a dream. In a dream. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, an angel can appear to you in a dream. Now, it can come to you in a dream as an angel, and sometimes can also come as man in a dream. Look at this. He said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So continue. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, wanted to put her away. Verse 20 is where I'm going to. But while he thought on this, behold, the angel of God appeared unto him. Where? In a dream. So you can see angels in your dream. Now, sometimes they may not really come as angel. I've said this before. Most of the times, there are people who see men of God, they revere and respect in their dreams. Those are angelic visitations. most of the times. I didn't get a point. Most of the times. Most of the times. Because God will always... So why such places come? There are always people you respect very much. Very well. So they bring those messages to you. They bring those messages to you. So, and sometimes they... You have seen an angel, not like in a man form. An angel in a dream. As angel. Let me see one. If I have right. It's a normal thing that happens. Then some other times, you have seen a dream... And you saw a man talk to you, but you got up, you knew that was an angelic visitation. Let me see. So he can come. But Joseph was in a dream, and the angel spoke to him in the dream. So angels can appear in your dream. Another way people can see angel is via what we call open visions. Open visions is when you see a vision with your two eyes open, not like spiritually, two eyes. Sometimes you see it so clearly that you're wondering why your neighbor is not seeing the same thing. Now, this is, get the teaching I did on leaders and directions. This is an exception and should remain so. I didn't get the point. Reason is because if you continue communicating God via your five senses, Satan can adulterate it. You get the point? The same way you can see angels with your physical eyes, demons can also come in that form. You know they are fallen angels, right? They can put on any form and come, and you see them physically. That's why I don't trust any vision seen with the two eyes. I don't. With your two eyes or with your physical ear, I don't. Some people think that makes you more spiritual. No. Most times when it happens, it means you've been ignoring the voices in your heart. I get what I'm saying? I get what I'm saying. Now, I don't know. So people are expecting to see physical an angel just walking into your room. It can happen, but then it's an exception, a serious exception, and it should remain so. That's kind of thing possibly that happened to Cornelius, and it was normal to happen to him because why? He was an unbeliever. The normal way God speaks to you, which I'll still get to, is through your spirit man. But when the unbeliever is not saved, the spirit man cannot receive from God. I don't even get the point. So once they see open visions, physical things, it can happen to believers too. And some of you have experienced it too, right? But it should remain an exception. It's an exception. Hallelujah. Now I have this daughter of mine who wanted God to talk to her physical ear. I've told you this before, right? She prayed. I was trying to explain to her. She said, no, I want God. And then I didn't even have much light. And I said, why? Fine. You want God? I laid down to her. I said, in the name of Jesus, I open your physical ear to begin to hear into the spirit. She said, amen, and left. Do you know that girl, for more than 4 days, she was useless. Because in the realm of the spirit, God is always talking. I don't know if you know that. It's just you that have the ability to switch on your heart. You get the point? Like, if I want to switch from what I'm teaching now to the prophetic now, God is talking to me right now. I can't begin to pick something for everybody here. I'm not picking it because I just switched it off to be able to preach this message. But she wanted to hear. Say, fine, your ear open. From that day, she will be in class and hearing voices. Imagine you are in class and hearing, look at that lady. She's having a problem. Hey, that guy. Anybody. She was just hearing, but she came to me and said, sir, please remove it. I'm telling you. Say, remove it. We are not once again. This was on, I prayed for her on Sunday. She came on Wednesday. She has been looking for you everywhere. I've been looking for you everywhere. Want to kill me? I said, no, you want to kill yourself. So open visions are exceptions, but you can see an angel via that. Another way angels can come to you, for instance, which is the major way which most of us experience, is what we call a spiritual vision. A spiritual vision is a vision you saw with the eyes of your spirit. Have you ever been praying, and not physically, but then you saw an angel in your spirit man? Has it happened to you? Almost everybody experiences that. That is the norm. That's the norm. That's the norm. In Acts 27 verse 21, Paul said, an angel of the Lord stood by me this night. That was a spiritual vision. He stood by me and he said unto me, fear not. So you can see an angel in a spiritual vision. And that's what has happened to some of you within this week, right? And that's what's happened this morning. Sometimes I'm preaching here a couple of times, and even as I'm praying, I see angels, not physically actually, but in out of my spirit, get the point? Working out things. I'm preaching here. Last one I was talking about is about surgeries, right? I saw an angel come. I was seeing that in my spirit. I didn't just see it physically. I didn't get the point. So the most occurrence of angelic visitations come in the eyes of the spirit. And that's the norm. Hallelujah. That's the norm. There's another exception, actually, which is physical appearance of angels. That is not a vision physically. But that way they come as man. I don't know if you know it can happen. In Genesis chapter 18, from verse 1, Abraham saw three guys. Genesis 18, verse 1. Abraham saw three guys, and he just called them to come in and eat. Bible said, and the Lord appeared unto him in the place of the man, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Just the Bible said, the Lord, look at verse 2. And he lifted up his head and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, so these were just ordinary men. Okay, but then Abraham entertained them, and the Bible tells us this can happen. And the letter then turned out to be the Lord, to be angels. Hope you know that. The Bible talks about it in, for instance, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. He uses that to teach hospitality. Hospitality. Verse 1, he said, let brotherly love continue. Okay, in verse 2, he said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Unawares. Some of you have experienced this, but you don't know. How many of you have you ever been stranded and somebody just walked up to you and told you something and showed you the one you left, and then you turned back, you couldn't see the person again? Has it happened to you before? And sometimes you just feel these goosebumps. You just know that something just happened here right now. Hallelujah. These things happen. They just walk up to you and say something, and they're looking back. Hi, God. There's a woman around our house. She's dead now. I stayed beside her house then. That got married at a very old age. I'm talking about, that's one of the highest miracles I've seen physically. Is this something like 70 something? She got married. For my very eyes. She has never been married. She went to the market. She went to the market and was walking, and a man stopped her. I've told her, you want to get married. I've told her things about getting married, about her marriage, and about her family. Why this is happening? She said when the man was talking, it looked like she was let's say pinned to a spot. So she, after listening to the guy now said, look at what you do, and just left. And she got herself and turned back. The guy had gone, and everything had played out the way he said it. That December, the lady, sisters, I'm not telling you joke. Some of you know her. I've never seen that in my life. A man came, rich man, no, former commissioner of something. I married her. You are this young. So that was. We call them angels unawares. If they just come around your way, so sometimes you don't even know. You've seen these things. You don't even know. They just come. Sometimes, you know, Bible said, when Lot, then we are running away from Sodom. They were taking some time. Bible said, the angel dragged them by the hand. Hallelujah. Sometimes angels can appear physically. But that's an exception. But then it can happen. It's not something you seek. I don't get what I'm saying. It's not something you start seeking. Father, today, oh, let me meet angels. When you want to leave, because I'm getting to where it matters. I want to just say, Father, I engage the ministry of angels. Are working for me, whether I see them or not. Elisha did not need to see those angels. He was guys that needed to see them. When you are mature, you don't need to see to believe. Angels are working. It's a knowing. Hallelujah. It's a knowing. When I say spiritual, I know if I, as I'm standing here, there are more than 800,000 angels in here. In here now. So how did they enter here? These are spirit beings. All over this place. That's why you observe that every expectation is met. Sometimes it's not even in line with what I'm preaching. But angels are watching. They're around. What are they doing? They came to serve. Oh, they're like waiters in the restaurant. Say, we are at your service. Place your orders. You remember, may I have your orders? They're just there. May I just say what you want? Say what you want. Let me say this. How do you engage their ministry? You need to realize that angels are always there wherever we are gathered. Wherever you are. But then they can be there and something bad will happen to you. And they will not act. The reason is because angels don't act until you engage them. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 16. We're getting to where it matters. 16:15, 16:17. Bible said, they were gathered there and he prayed God should open the eyes. Okay, verse 17. He says, and the Lord opened. Come on, 17:17. That's the next verse. Elijah prayed, and then he saw a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elijah. These were angels around him. But notice they were there, but they didn't act. Go to the next verse. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people. So he engaged. The key to engaging angelic visitation, I'll just tell you one thing before I start praying, is your words. Why is it so? Psalm 103 verse 20 tells us how angels operate. He says, look at it. He said, the angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. He said, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So angels listen to God's voice, God's word. They only act on God's word. Not just God's word reading in the Bible. The Bible said it is the voice of his word. So when you give voice to the word of God, angels act on it. That's why I continued why I stopped on Thursday. Remember Thursday? If you have a mouth, you should not struggle in this life. Angels are waiting for you to talk. That's why you notice Elijah did not pray and say, angels might. No. That's why you don't pray to angels. You pray to God. They just need to hear the word of God in your mouth. They will act on it. Every place you've seen angelic deliverance, angelic intervention, men engage them by talking. Why? They are your servants. Your servants cannot act until you tell them to act. It's a very simple thing. That's logical. Your servant in your house cannot act until you talk. That's why I tell you, we are a kingdom of talkers. If you've not learned how to talk and say what you want, exactly how you want it, you will keep these people off. Next week, I'm going to touch on how to hinder angelic ministry, but I'm going to show you one. Just keep quiet. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Some of you think we don't have sense. We are shouting and saying a lot of things. You think it's just to be packaged and work? No, we don't do packaging. Well, you talk and engage angelic ministry with your words. In Daniel 10 verse 11, look at this. Mahorateka. Daniel 10 verse 11. One of the most profound scriptures on this. I said, and he said unto me, oh Daniel, that was an angel talking to him. Greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. And stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he has spoken to this word, go back. When he has spoken these words, he said, I stood trembling. So he was trembling. That's what I told you. When angels come to you, there's a tendency that you start shaking. You are scared because of the way they come. Verse 12. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. I'll come to this next week. For from the first day that thou set thy heart to understand and to chase thyself before God, thy words you are heard. For I am, and I am come. Go back. I am come for thy words. It was the words that Daniel spoke that attracted the angel. So in Zion, there are an innumerable company saying, may I have your orders, please? Can you talk? She said, Daniel, I have come because you are saying something. You are saying something. You are saying something. In Acts chapter 12, you find angels go to the prison to deliver Peter. You know that story? Acts 12, look at verse 5. The angel entered the prison and then, boom, blew the prison. Peter was even sleeping. How did it happen? Prayer was made without ceasing. So the sense you are praying, it was that prayer that engaged angels to go open the prison gate. That's why when we are praying and we say talk, be talking. Be talking. Be talking. Your prayer set angels loose to do some things. That's why if you're expecting something in your business this week, you have a business, I just got out of spirit. You have a shop or you have a company, and you're expecting some offers or some patronage this week, it's time to begin to talk. What is going to happen is that as you are talking, angels are pulling people from their houses and pushing them. I said this last week. This is what unbelievers do in form of witchcraft. They put charm in their shop. What happens? Demons, fallen angels, right? Because Satan always counterfeits God. They will just go and be pulling people. Nobody can pass that shop. Same thing we do with angels. We talk. Somehow everybody's coming. Ah! Some have told me, say, I've never met this man before. But somebody has shared a testimony with me. He said, that was last 2 weeks. After I prayed, I said, there was a deal he wanted to close. He said, they're going to close it. And he said, when he got, the favor was much, that when he got to the man gave him his ATM card and said, run the transaction yourself. So he paid himself. Such trust. I'm not talking about 10,000 naira. I'm talking about millions. He said, take the ATM card. He said, take your own money and return it to me. He said, why would they trust? Why will you trust? They are not related. I don't get the point. You come to a point, you see, because when you begin to engage, that's why when I say something to you, I say it must be done. It can never not be done. Why? Because when I say it, angels begin to act on that thing I've said immediately. And begin to arrange everything that will make it happen. By the hands of angels. So I don't need to, you won't see me. You will not see anybody in the actual apostle saying, angels do this. I rarely use that. But I just talk. When I talk, they act, they hearken to the voice of the word of God. So I'm a talker. Oh, come on, so I'm a talker. You must learn to talk. What do you say? You speak the word of God. Words of faith will engage angels. I'll show you next week. You see, words of fear, words of defeat will cripple their ministry. I'll show you next week. That's why you find out that every time an angel appears, the first is always fear not. Every time, check. That's why I said I'll come to you next week. Fear not, because once you begin to say, I don't know what to do. I'm just so scared. I don't know how this week is going to be. I know how this week will be. It will work in my favor. Nothing will go wrong this week. Everything will fall in place this week. I have multiple opportunities this week. This week. You say such things. And then just swing into action. They must. These are servants. You understand? They have to perform because they are servants. They are servants. Have you ever been a maid in someone's house? When a person says, get me water. You stand and you rush. You are owing the person water. Angels owe you to make sure your head was fulfilled. Yeah, that's the truth. They make sure it's their duty. If you have a tongue, you should not be crying. Have a tongue. Since I've been saying it, it's not working. Come on. Is that thing you say, and that's why it's not working? That's why I said, you keep speaking words of faith. So what if I don't really believe it? Well, continue saying it. As you keep saying it, that's why I say you pray and you talk. I was saying that, Joey, remember? We pray and steer up all trance from within. I don't speak empty words. You don't just see me saying things like, well, no. When I talk to you, it's coming from inside. It's coming. And so you spend time praying and those words rise. And you are so sure it is the very word of God they are speaking. Angels will act on it. They will. Ha. You know, that's why I don't just come out at the beginning of the month and I pick anything. I say, these are a month of perfection because it's 7 months. I'm not here to play. These are a month of delivery. It's the 9th month. Come on now. This is September to remember. I'm not saying these are bad. I'm just telling you, that's not what I do. You get to the place of the Spirit and say, and pick things from there. And then you serve it back, hey, but later. Angels must act on it. They must. You don't speak words of fear. You don't speak defeat. You speak the word of God. So how to engage angelic ministry is by talking. Saying the right word. There's one scripture I normally explain whenever I get to this point. And that's Daniel chapter 3. I'll explain that, then show one more scripture and we'll pray. Have you been blessed today? Are you ready to pray? Because we're going to pray this morning. You're going to pray. What I learned that you should pray for souls, pray for the nation. I lead you to pray that. But when you don't pray for the souls and nations and men, take up your life and begin to give some decrees. If you don't talk, nothing is going to change. Daniel 3:16. You know the story where they told him they were going to throw them into the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Okay? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We know the story. They threw them in, and there was a fourth man in the fire. Right? That was an angel, right? Did you observe too that I said last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not see the fourth man. They didn't need to see him. It was Nebuchadnezzar that said, ah, there's a fourth man there. Do you get the point? Don't need to see. But what I want to explain to you is from verse 16 and 17. People normally say, well, that what they said was, we will not worship your God. If our God delivers us, fine. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we will not worship your God. If any day you talk like that, the fire will burn you up. You don't speak like that. That's not what they say. So I'm going to do small English. Just a little English class here. You want to see this? If it be so. If what be so? Go back to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer in this matter. Verse 17. If it be so. Okay. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. So you see the confidence. He will. They were so sure. Now verse 18 now said, but if not. Now go back to verse 17. Let's get it again. If it be so. If what be so? If you throw us into the fire, right? Is it very clear? If you throw us in, our God will deliver us. He will deliver us. Verse 18 now said, but if not. What does the if not mean? If you don't throw us in. So it's not if he doesn't deliver us, no. You get the point? If you throw us in, our God will deliver us. If not, what does the if not mean now? If you don't throw us in. So they were saying, whether you throw us in or you don't throw us in, we are not going to bow down. But if you throw us in, our God will deliver us. I didn't get the point. They were not second guess. It wasn't a case of, well, if our God delivers us, fine. If you don't deliver us, if you talk like that, you're going to burn. That's uncertainty. That's not how to talk. Well, whether you throw us in or not, we are not going to bow down to this. But if you now conclude and throw us in, hey, our God, whom we serve, such audacity. It comes from a knowing. Hallelujah. As I know. It comes from a knowing. Talk in the Holy Ghost for a moment. I have one more scripture, but talk in the Holy Ghost. Something just came to me now. Let me hear you. Talk in the Holy Ghost. If it be so. If it be so. If it be so. If it be so. Look up. And so they said some things to the king. And the king threw them in. And that was it. The angels stepped in. They were so sure. Angels always show up. You say, why? It's their job description. What else do they do for a living? After the first day, do you think God created angels to be cleaning his shoe and washing his car in heaven? Or to be protecting heaven? God is so powerful, he doesn't need soldiers. You are the one that needs soldiers, and he has given them to you. So what do you do? Give your orders. Our God will deliver us. Simple. So throw us in here, we'll come out. So it wasn't like how they were so sure to come out. Did I read Charles Caps explain this scripture I just gave him now? From Charles Caps, read? Because I've never seen from that light. I said, wow. So these guys were not actually there. Second guessing, saying, well, see, let me tell you. We don't want to bow down to you. If God delivers us, thank God do. If he doesn't deliver us, we'll still not bow down. If I perish, I perish. You say, if I perish, I perish. You forget that when Esther made that statement, she went in to pray. They were fasting for long, and she didn't perish. Because by her words, she said the heart of the king right. By her words. It's good to have that kind of heart towards the gospel, right? It's only towards the gospel you say things like, I'm going to keep preaching, even if persecution comes. That's a good, because a good point is a good heart towards the gospel. But is it towards life issues? Let me tell you. Don't bend. Say, well, I don't know. All I know, I'm going to stand for Jesus. See, let me tell you. There is nothing sweet about sickness. There's nothing sweet about lack. There's nothing sweet. So when you don't want it, speak. Angels are going to get into action immediately. Let me show you one last scripture. Just to drive this home. If you don't talk, angels will not move. I normally show this whenever I teach on angels. In Matthew 26, verse 53, I've shown you before. Let's go here again. Jesus said, do you not know? Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he will give me 12 days of angels? Next verse. He said, but how then shall the scripture be fulfilled? So, why did God not give Jesus 12 legions of angels? He did not pray. So, we are the angels available. Did they act? Why? He didn't pray. Go to verse 53. Put up another translation. Hey, Abba. Shakalaba rose. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father? And so, the reason angels did not act. How can angels watch Jesus crucified? He didn't say anything. Jesus was careful to keep quiet. If he had then said, do you realize how many times they've come to take him? Bible says he would disappear from their midst. The other time they came, he said, who are you looking for? He said, I am he. They fell down. So that time he just wanted scriptures to be fulfilled. That's why the Bible will tell you, Jesus was not forced to die. He gave himself for us. The Bible said he laid down. I don't get the point. He gave himself. If he didn't want to die, he would have one word, angels will appear. That's the same thing. If you die, you wanted to. You get the point? If you remain there, you wanted to. But if you have a tongue, and you are not praying in tongues, No, something should not happen to you. Something should not happen to you. By my prayers, angels are working. Angels are working. This week, you will experience the ministry of angels. This week. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray a little this morning. This week. Some of you, as I've said, will see them. Some of you may never see them, but you will see their workings all over. See their workings all over. See their workings all over. You will see their workings all over. You see their workings all over.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.